Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Everybody doing all right? Good, kind of, not really. Well, we're here to make it all better, right?
Amen.
We're going to talk about our kids. That makes everything better, right? So, yeah, there we go. They're going back to school, right? So you're like, yes, it's all going to be better. Well, this morning, we're talking about family ministries. We got our family ministries team up here, and we want to talk about how God does incredible things in our families and in our faith family. And so if you're here today, it's not just about parenting, it's not just about those who have kids, it's about everybody. And what we would say is family ministries is about investing in the next generation. And so if you're here this morning, you can do that. You can invest in the next generation. So as we talk about families from birth through college age even, we just want you to know that everybody in this room is part of what we're talking about today. So we have this, Steve, well, what is this?
So this is a jar of marbles. What I thought we would do is we'd start off this morning with a game. So we're gonna take guesses from the front row, how many marbles are in here, to win a Dean Foulkes exclusive white belt. So actually, that's not what we're gonna do. But if you did guess 936 marbles, that's how many marbles are in this jar. And what that represents is how many weeks we have to invest in our children from the day they're born until the day they turn 18. So if you drew one marble out of this jar every week from when your child was born, you draw that last marble out when they turn 18. So when you think about that, so I have three kids, right? My oldest is 11, so I've got about 330 marbles left with her. My middle one just turned 8 yesterday. I've got about 500 marbles with her, and my youngest is 6, so I've got just under 600 marbles with her. So when you think about the time that you have left, you begin to do more with the time that you have now, right? That's the next thing in your listening guide. So when you guys came in today, everybody should have got a marble. Everybody have a marble? We didn't just give that to parents. We gave that to everybody here in the room because we believe everybody has an opportunity to invest every week in the next generation. If you have a copy of the scriptures, if you take that out or your phone and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to point out the fact that when Moses is speaking here, he's speaking to the whole assembly. He's not just talking to parents. So if you'll join me in Deuteronomy 6, we'll start in verse 4, and it says this, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So note there, he says our first responsibility is to ourselves love God before we can lead others to him, before we can point the other generation, the next generation, to him.
Yeah. So that's what we want to talk about today. I want to introduce you to our LifePoint Kids team and just interview them and talk about how family ministries relates to every single person in this room, not just our parents here this morning. So let's meet our kids team. My name is Adam Wallace. I'm the family ministries pastor here. This is Steve Clifton. He's our associate children's pastor. There on the end there, we have Mark Shields. He's our children's pastor. Y'all say, hey, Mark.
Hey.
He only got one woo in the first service, so yeah.
Slight improvement.
Sorry, Mark. Oh, hey, that's two. That's good. We have Denise Steele.
There you
wow.
go.
Wow. Okay,
big
that's
thing,
awesome.
Big thing.
She directs our school age environment, what we call that crew here at LifePoint. And then in the middle here, we have Kristen Permuta. They're all on the back
row. They're in the very back, They didn't want to be seen.
Yeah. We have Kristen. She directs our preschool environment, which we call juniors. And we just want to spend some time with them, hearing their hearts. You know, we've all sat around here talking about our kids as we've planned for this message and just how crazy it is. We each have three kids up here. So if that was a life group and you're doing wildlife, you know what it would be like, right? It'd be crazy. That's what our families are like. But we want to think of family ministry in terms of the next generation and investing in that next generation. We really think three parts. We want to start with the why. Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do as a family, as parents? And then in a bigger question, why do we do what we do in our faith family? And so I want to ask that in really two questions is, first, if you have kids, what is the goal for your family? What is the goal for your kids? And then the second part of that is, what is the goal for the next generation within our faith family? And so how we answer that question, how you guys answer that for your kids, what is the goal for your kids, is gonna determine a lot of how you do what you do and what you do what you do. And so we want you to know the why. And we would say that the why is the gospel, that the goal is the gospel. And the gospel, if you've heard Dean say it, you've heard him say that we are undeniably flawed, that we all have issues that are going on in our lives, and that we call that sin that mars us, that we're broken. But there's a love that God has that we are unbelievably loved, that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could experience life when we trust in him. And so that is the goal, that our kids would know that and they would live that out. The goal is not for your kids to get a great education, to be a great athlete, to have a great career, to make great money. The goal is for them to love a great God. And we would say that that happens in two parts, really. That's the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then the great commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. And so if our kids can get that, they have understood the gospel and they will be living a life for Christ. So as we talk about that, Mark, let's just tell us a minute about the gospel here at LifePoint and kind of what the influence it's had here and how that works.
I'd be happy to. You know, as we're sitting here talking about time, I'm at this unusual stage of life. I've got three kiddos, just like we all do, and at least all up here. And I have my youngest who's finishing up school age. He's in fifth grade. And then I have, his name's Tyler. And then I have Zach, who's finishing up middle school in eighth grade. And then I have my oldest, Caitlin, who I am 1 week away from sending to college. So you just think about the time and the impact of the gospel in their lives. I'm praying that that's really impacted them. And as a ministry here, we've kind of had a unique experience with the gospel. It's been pretty amazing, actually. When we started thinking about a couple years ago, we started praying about what God would have for our church. And we had an amazing curriculum that we were using. It was phenomenal. It had the top of the line videos, great scripture, great skits. The skits were well thought out. They were funny. The kids loved it. They had a blast. And we were all talking about it. And then the Lord said, yeah, I want you to go another route. Okay. So this is awesome. We're going to go another route. Why? And it was pretty obvious to us that the gospel just wasn't paramount in the curriculum. There were so many good things about it, but the good news about who Jesus is just wasn't there enough. And so the Lord led us to this curriculum called the Gospel Project. And the Gospel Project is a curriculum that over the course of 3 years, and we implemented this from school age all the way through high school to students. And over the course of 3 years, they're going to go from Genesis to Revelation, and they're going to hear every part of the Bible. They're going to learn the full Bible. And here's the beautiful thing. Every single story from Moses to David and Goliath to Noah in the ark, every single story points back to who Jesus is and what he did for us. So our kids get to hear about Christ every single week. And so that's awesome. But we were nervous. And what ended up happening is God just opened up the floodgates. Honestly, when we were obedient, even though we were reluctantly scared to let go of this curriculum, all of a sudden we started implementing the Gospel Project and teaching them about Christ every single week. And our kids started to respond. And I mean respond in big ways. Our high schoolers are getting more in-depth into the Bible. They're asking their small group leaders questions. They're learning things that they probably should have known earlier for the first time, and things are hitting home. School-agers are coming to know Christ regularly. And, you know, the gospel had always been a part of what we do, but not every week. And then all of a sudden, it was literally every week we were seeing children, school-agers, students make decisions for Christ. And it has not stopped. It's been amazing. And so we're seeing baptisms regularly. Our elements class, which I'll talk about in a little bit, is full. The elements class where they learn about who they are in baptism in Christ, it's been full regularly since we started this. So God's just really done an amazing work. And one of the cool things, it was like a byproduct. We didn't even see this coming. This was such a God thing, was our students, when they started to respond, it wasn't like they were just responding to Christ, but they were responding to actually move. And we had school-age kids, middle school kids, high school kids saying, I want to serve. Like, I want to do something. I want to invest. And so we got high schoolers investing in middle schoolers investing in school-agers, and school-age kids, third, fourth, and fifth grade, investing in preschool. And I'm telling you, it is beautiful. God's using it in amazing ways. We had no idea that was coming. We have these kids, they're called Jump Back. The way that they serve, we call them our Jump Back team. And over the course of a year, we had about 30 kids a year ago. Now, in the course of a month, we have 60 kids that serve in some capacity in this church every month. How amazing is that? I mean, that's just awesome. And one of the last byproducts too, which was beautiful, when we started this curriculum, we were like, okay, let's talk to our people that are teaching it. Let's see how it's going. Let's see what they're saying. Let's see how the kids are receiving it. And here's what happened. The kids were saying, Mark, Denise, Adam, Kristen, Steve, not only are the kids getting it, but it's changing me. Like, I read the scripture and I prepare, and God's doing work in me. And so when I see the kids grasp it, it does a work in my heart that I never thought possible. So the gospel in Jesus Christ is changing leaders, kids, and everybody. And we're literally in awe. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great. And we have a story from someone here at LifePoint, just how the gospel has impacted her. We're going to see a video from Tessa Andrews, and she serves back in our kids' area. And she's just going to talk a little bit about how the gospel made an impact on her when she came here, just her story of her life change. And so just listen to her story on video and just see what the gospel did. Let's take a look.
When I was younger, my parents, they separated. My mom really started abusing drugs, and I was so young, you know, I didn't know any better at the time. And my dad moved on and, you know, decided not to go into drugs, but, you know, he was very lustful with many women. So that kind of left us and my sisters and I and my brothers and I, we were not the main focus, which it was hard. And I grew up not feeling loved like you would want to be loved. I just remember going through some of the things I went through, and I would just be like, why? Tell me why. Why me? Why do I go through all of this? And I felt so abandoned. And my heart was very hardened. So I felt that way pretty much my entire life. And it hurts to say that now, but I remember when I did find God, I had just had my daughter. And God gave me this gift of being a mother and being someone who I never had. And I remember holding her, and I just felt this overcoming of, this is what I was supposed to do. And it hit me that God gave me this opportunity. And I wanted to bring her into the church. I wanted to be involved in a community that loved me, because I wanted to be loved. I wanted that connection. And it wasn't until my daughter was about 3 years old that I decided that I was really gonna go and get involved with the church. And I went to Life Point. I went by myself with my daughter, and talk about scary. I was so nervous. But I remember walking through those doors, and I got this rush of, this is where I'm meant to be. You know, Christ's love was all around. And I remember being really scared, and I brought Lily back to, you know, the kids area, and she felt so comfortable, which made me feel comfortable. The teachers were amazing. And, you know, as a mother, we get really protective of our kids, and I didn't second guess anything. And I took her back, and I went in the main auditorium, and I heard Dean speak for the first time. I remember looking around like, someone's gonna look at me. And I did it. I just raised my hand and I started crying. And that's when I knew that God was there, and God is in my life, and He is working so hard for me. And so I need to work hard for Him too. And I look back on what I went through with my parents and what I went through growing up, and He was there. And even though some of the things that I went through were so terrible to make you wonder why, but He made me stronger. He made me a better mother. He made me a better teacher, a better wife. Everything that I could think of, He had a part in. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know who I would be if I didn't go through some of the things I went through. But since going to Life Point, I have been fully involved. I remember it was like my third time going, I believe, that I just jumped right in. I emailed Steve and I emailed Mark, and I said, I want to help. I want to do this, and I want to be involved. And so I started helping in the children's ministry. I helped teach the crew, and I'm one of the jump back coordinators now. And to be able to touch these kids' lives and have God touch their lives, and I can help be a part of that, and I'm working for Christ. The joy that comes with that is so unexplainable. And to see these kids, they help me grow. Just as I see them grow with Christ, you know, Christ is just shaping my heart, and it's for the better. And I'm not hardened anymore. And it's amazing. And so my life now, it's still complicated. It still can be kind of scary and doubtful, but what different now is that I have Christ fully in my heart. I accepted Him back in October, and I haven't looked back since. And my life is more meaningful, and there's a purpose, and Christ is that purpose.
Wow. I love that video. I love Tessa's story. Great testimony. I love that she talks about the why, that gospel, you know, Christ is the purpose and the meaning in her life. But she talked a lot about the how, too. She's a parent. She's also partnering with the kids in our children's ministry in a lot of different ways. She's using that marble every week, both as a parent and as a partner. She's actually serving this morning as our large group leader. So she's partnering with the small groups. She's praying with the kids. A part of the jump back coordinator that she mentioned, she's partnering with the parents of the kids to get them scheduled and get them in to be able to serve and use their gifts as well. But we need both. We need both parents, and we need partners. We need partnerships with our kids. The next thing in your listening guide is that parents, which we'll talk about first, are the primary spiritual influence. So if you refer back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, it's brief. It just says, repeat them again and again to your children. If you're like me, you know, at my house, we've got a saying, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist, right? We've got an agenda. We've got things we're going to do. We've got places to be. And sometimes it's easy to just lose sight of that marble. It just becomes a check mark in your agenda or on your calendar every week rather than an opportunity. And it's important to be intentional, right? And to leverage that opportunity as a parent and as a partnership. And I know, Denise, you had a story or an experience in your life where you've seen some kids moving towards their faith in our children's ministry, but you have an experience where maybe they're moving to or from their faith in your life.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to share just a little bit. I heard once said to me, when you're trying to find your passion and service, you need to figure out what breaks your heart first. Because if you find that, you'll be passionate about serving the Lord in that area. So I'd just like to give you a little bit of my background and how I answered that question. I grew up, like many of our kids here, attending church as a child. My mom was a new believer, and she took my older sister and I to church regularly. She taught us how to pray and how to read our Bibles. She modeled what, you know, putting God first in your life looked like. And I remember sitting in kids' church and probably raising my hand and seeing my sister raise her hand 100 times to accept Christ into our lives. So we understood that message. But as we got older, as my sister and I transitioned into our teenage years, we started to question, and in particular, my sister began to rebel from our, you know, my parents and going to church and anything like that. And because I admired her as my older sister, I followed in her footsteps as a teenager. So here we are, the two of us, you know, doing a lot of bad stuff. And we had a church youth group. I remember attending it. I don't really remember connecting with the youth pastor, and I don't recall any leaders really reaching out to us to make that connection. But thankfully, in my case, the Lord put a friend in my path. I think it was my junior year of high school. She was a year older, and we had the same study hall, and she was just a strong believer. She didn't, she wasn't shy about living her faith out in front of everyone at school, and she just began to talk to me. And I don't even think she knew what was going on in my world, but I just saw her relationship with the Lord, and it really was attractive to me. I wanted that relationship with the Lord back that I had experienced as a kid. And so I began to feel convicted about my sin. And I prayed that God would remove some of those temptations and the situations that I had put myself in that were bad. And he so faithfully did. So I am thankful for that, that he placed that person there to draw me back in. But in my sister's case, I don't know if she didn't have someone like that or just didn't respond, but she has yet to come back to the Lord. So her life has been just one of addictions and abuse, broken relationships. There's been a lot of pain caused our family. So when I see my sister now, she is like my visible reminder of what my life would be like without the Lord. And so it makes me thankful for what the Lord has done for me. But I often think about her and the fact that how could two kids who have the same parents, the same family background, the same church upbringing, how could they have two totally different faith outcomes? And that is the thing that breaks my heart, to think about my kids or any of our kids growing up in our body here and at some point choosing to walk away from the Lord. And sadly, the statistic is that 40 to 50% of kids now that graduate from high school, having attended a church youth group, they end up walking away from their faith in college. So that's pretty sobering.
Wow. Yeah, so when we talk about the how, we're talking about relationships. You know, parents are important, but this partnership concept, you've been telling us up here on the stage about this book, Sticky Faith, some concepts in there and some of the statistics and the research. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit about the importance of partnerships and what they have to say about it?
Yeah, so the good news is that we're not the first people to be concerned about this. There is a group called the Fuller Youth Institute. There, a couple of their authors have written this book called Sticky Faith. And what they did is a ton of research, interviewing students, young adults, different churches on what worked as far as helping kids' faith stick. And I read this eagerly thinking, okay, here we're going to find the secret to, you know, making sure that our kids follow the Lord. There are a ton of ideas in here, so I highly recommend it, but there's not one single thing you can do, but there is one strong correlation that they found, and they call it the sticky web of influence, and that's the next thing on your listening guide. And what they mean by the sticky web of influence is that relationships, adult relationships outside of the parent that students have can create a web that helps a child's faith stick. So what they are talking about is there's no one particular program or event that we can create here to help draw kids in, but what we can create is an environment where adults are interested in and expressing interest in kids. They're asking kids how their week is. We're happy that they're here. Just finding out about their lives and building relationships with kids. And I've seen this with my own, I have two teenage girls, and I've seen them go through this phase of, you know, pulling away from their parents' influence and wanting to seek some of those outside influences. I've seen it happen in our life group where just different adults from our life group will ask them how they're doing or ask them about their faith. I've seen it with youth leaders who just have invested in their lives. And I've seen it even when they maybe are serving in the kids ministry, there are adults back there that are asking them how they're doing and just pulling them in and helping them connect to the church body. So what the authors suggest is actually that every student should have five adults building into their life from our church. So that's a big challenge for us to not just relegate it to the youth ministry, but to really see ourselves as the ones that are reaching out and pulling those kids in and helping them to feel connected to the church.
Thanks. So if you are using the app today, we've provided you with a link to getting access to this book on Amazon. Up next, we're going to listen to a couple of folks that are investing relationally in our students in both the juniors room as well as the student ministry. So Julia Feltz is a small group leader in our juniors room, and Derek Hahn is a leader in our student ministry. So if you'll share this time with us, watch this video.
A change in the kids. I've seen a change in their relationship with me. I've seen kids go from being really shy and reserved and having a really hard time coming into church, much like sometimes I have a hard time coming into church. And I've seen them go from being shy and quiet to running in and giving me a high five or giving me a hug and being excited to share about their day. And, you know, on the special days when I get to hear that they have given their life to Christ, that's just, it's just, it means a lot that they want to share that truth and that excitement and that part of their life with me. I've gotten to see them go from being confused or not knowing much about God to hearing the truth repeatedly and just the pure truth in those kids' lessons. I get to see them worship God in the service, and there's something about hearing kids sing and watching them joyfully praise God that just makes your heart swell and makes you want to be a better person, makes you want to walk more closely with God. And I'm just really thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve with LifePoint Kids.
In the beginning, my wife and I had been coming to LifePoint for a few months, and I'd started serving on the Connections team, and was looking for another opportunity. And my wife had really felt called to go work with the middle school group, and you know, we talked about potentially doing it together. And I didn't know if I really felt comfortable with that. I had never had any experience really with the middle school kids, and our boys are a lot younger. But you know, we decided to do it together, and although it was awkward at first and definitely outside of my comfort zone, it was cool to see how God, you know, created this desire and passion in me to start investing into the students and building relationships. And you know, early on, it went from just activities and sports, and so that was comfortable. But then, really transitioned into you know Sunday mornings and teaching a lesson. And you know, both Rachel and I found just a great joy in being able to prepare questions and you know, prepare for Sunday mornings, and then when we're there teaching and you know, engaging with the students, I mean, just, you know, being able to hear their responses and just see what God's doing in their lives. I mean, it's such a joy that was created in our lives. And it's also a newly developed passion for me to now teach and to lead in that regard. And so that's manifested itself in other areas of my life and other ministries that, you know, this opportunity to teach and to, you know, study the Word more and, you know, prepare for whatever it is. I mean, it's been awesome to see God working and what He's done just through working with the middle school group over the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to our leaders, the investment that they give. I mean, they're marble. They're using their marble every week and pouring into the lives of these students. And I've gotten to watch Derek just over the last couple of years. He's developed that relationship, and the kids come in. They know him. He knows them. They talk about things, and it gives him the opportunity to go deeper and to share the gospel and to talk with them about spiritual things and invest in their lives in that way. And it's really cool just to see what God's done in them. So as we talked about the why we do what we do, the gospel, and we've talked about the how, the relationships, that's what we gives us the opportunity to really share that gospel. We want to talk about one more area, and it's the what. What do we do week in and week out, day in and day out, to really pour into our kids and even the kids here on Sunday mornings. And we would like to use the word rhythm, that there's a rhythm to your household. There's a rhythm to your week-to-week activities. And so we see this in Deuteronomy 6. Look with me at verse 7 again. And it says, in terms of talking about the commandments, it says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on the forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so the gospel should be a central part of everything we do, not just come on Sunday mornings, get our gospel fill, and then go do our lives. It's part of every day when you wake up, when you lie down. And so as we talk about those things with our kids, it's part of who we are, not just something we do. And so Kristen is gonna share with us a little bit about family life and rhythm. We know, we get it, it's all crazy. We've talked about it as we prepare for this message. So Kristen, tell us about the daily rhythm of your house and just how you see kind of the Deuteronomy 6 passage play out.
Yeah, so the rhythm of our house is pretty crazy. We have a 6, 4, and 2-year-old, and they're at that stage where they cry about everything, no matter what it is. So there's a lot of tears and, you know. But my husband and I have chosen to try and be intentional with a few things at home so that way we can live out the gospel and live out Deuteronomy 6 as best we can. One of the small things that we do is have dinner time, prioritize dinner time as a family every day. Just time to talk about good, bad of the day, you know, whatever it might look like. I don't want to think that you to think that it looks perfect and we're all smiling, because every meal someone's complaining about food or crying about something. But our hope is that we're building a relationship with our kids and having that family time, establishing that, and also taking the 5 minutes at the end of the day after bath time to do devotionals with the kids. And usually at the end of the day, all we want to do, my husband and I, is just get them to bed, because at that point it's just been a long evening and we want to finish our day. But we've seen some fruit that God produces if we take the 5 minutes, if we follow through on our intention of practicing memory verse that they learned on Sunday, or reading a Bible story they chose, or doing a devotional. We see that our oldest, who loves to read anyway, she will ask to stay up later to read her Bible, or pick it up the next day randomly throughout the day and read it, or take it in the car to read it. And that's been a really cool thing to see, because I see that if you get a taste of God's word, it just creates this hunger and this thirst for more of it and more of his truth. And that's super cool to see in our oldest. And it's also a reminder to me that I need to be walking daily with Christ. I can't give to my family if I'm not filled up with the Holy Spirit. And so I just know that, I joke with people and say that I think I say sorry to my kids more often than they have to say sorry to me, because I have a short temper, unfortunately, and my kids can really bring that out in me. And so, but what I see is that I can have the opportunity, and I can take the opportunity that in my weakness, I can point them to the cross and say that I am sorry, but I am forgiven, and God forgives us no matter what we do, and kind of point them back to that when they disobey or lie, that I can still point them back to the cross and remind them of our desperate need for a Savior. And also, what's made a huge impact in my life the past couple years is having a mentor in my life, someone who's taken her marble and invested in me and had an eternal impact on me and my family. She's willing to pray for me and encourage me. She's truthful with me. And that's made a world of difference as my role as a mom and as a wife. And then it's given me the thought of, okay, what am I doing with my marble? How can I exemplify Christ to my kids by investing in someone who is a stage behind me in life? And how can I pour into them? And God's been faithful in showing me ways I can do that.
Thanks for sharing. I can tell you, we were a part of Joel and Kristen's life group for a while, and they definitely have a strong influence on a lot of other families. So thank you for sharing. There's a lot of great practical ideas and examples of how you can weave the gospel into the rhythm of your day or your week. It's going to look different for you. It's going to look different for my family. I know we do devotions after dinner with Dad, D-A-D. See what I did there? But you can come up with your own stuff. The point is to be intentional about it and know that we're here to support you with people and resources. And to that point, I'll ask Mark, you know, what do we do in LifePoint Kids to support the rhythm of our LifePoint families?
Well, thanks, Denise. When we know how it works, we all have, like we've talked about, we all have three kids. We know in the busyness of life, you know, the resources have got to be right there if you're going to grab them, if you're going to take hold of them and use them in your family or use them in your lives. And so we wanted to make sure that you guys knew what resources that we want to offer to you. And we know that if God's not in the mix of your life, if he's not in the rhythm of your life, then, you know, a lot of these things will fall by the wayside. So these things are really important, and we want to make sure you grab hold of them. The first one is our Jesus Storybook Bible. So we give this to families when they're going through the dedication process, and when they're, we kind of teach them about what we do here at LifePoint and what our goals are for their kids. Now, this storybook Bible is amazing. I can't tell you how many parents have come to me over the years and they've said, Mark, you know, what is the best Bible for my kiddos? This is it right here. This is not only the best Bible for your kiddos. This is middle school, high school. I mean, I really think everybody should read it. I mean, I've read that thing and been in tears. It's like a Disney movie. It takes the gospel. It takes the story of God's word, and it makes it engaging. And just like our curriculum, every story in this book tells you how that points to Jesus Christ. And it is amazing. So we have the Jesus Storybook Bible. One thing that we do across the board in every ministry is we send out weekly emails to parents that have kids in the ministry. So in those emails, you're going to get a little snapshot of what the kids learned, okay? And what story they went over and what truths that we want them to grasp, so that you can maybe reinforce those at dinner or in the car or wherever. And then also there's questions that you can ask them in those same places. And my favorite part, the questions have answers, right? So you don't have to go looking anywhere. They're right there for you. We want you to win. We want you to look like superheroes to your kids. So the answers are right there for you. And then there's our emails there too. We always want to make ourselves available to you in any way, shape, or form if you have questions or you need anything. So our emails are attached to those emails that we send you. Then we have our trading cards that we give out in the crew, and another win. These are awesome. The kids like them. They're little reminders of what they learned that week in the crew. And then they also have questions in there that you can go over with your children, and they have answers. It's beautiful. And then This is our Elements book, and we do a thing called Elements class, and I alluded to it earlier. There's 15 questions in this book, and every single question is foundational to a child and the gospel and what they're learning. There's things about sin. There is about, of course, the one and only true way, which is Jesus Christ. There is questions, there's answers about the Holy Spirit. There's baptism. What's my next step in my walk of faith? And all these things are super engaging, and they're geared towards kids, and they're perfect because I wrote them. And my brain works just like a kid. And so it just works, right? And so those are a couple things. One of the other things is we're talking about just that 40 hours that we have versus the parents that have 3,000 hours in any given year. And one of the things that we've seen huge impact with is camps. Adam sends the students to Student Life Camp. I'm blessed to go along to Center Kid Camp with our kiddos. And so you take that 40 hours and you send them to camp, and you automatically just doubled it. You gave them 80 hours that we get to love on them, invest in them, and it literally is an honor to be a part of those camps. We see God move and work in the lives of our kids, and we're in awe. We're just thankful to even be there. So camps, take advantage of those camps that we give out. And then the last thing I just want to share with you is, you know, in the busyness of life, and you want to grab hold of something, and you need a resource, or you need something at any given moment, if the gospel is not a resource, it's not just a resource that you can go to, it is the source that has to be in you. The gospel, the word of God, like, you have got to be in it, because if you're not praying, if you're not reading God's word, if you're not praying with your spouse about your children or your neighbors and their children or other people's children, if you're not praying for your nephews, your cousins, and those things, when the moment comes and the busyness of life gets in there and you go to reach for something, you will reach for something else every single time. You will reach for somebody's Facebook post that gives the next best thing, something else. But if you are in Christ and you are in the gospel, the Lord will help you reach for things like these that proclaim his name and draw kids into his presence. So you have got to use the gospel as your source.
We thank you for being here today. We want you just to know how important it is for us that we get to invest in your family, that we're not just here to babysit your kids on Sunday morning. It is infinitely more than that, that we really believe that this marble is a week of investment that we get to share the gospel with the kids and students that are here, and we get to help point them to a life that is gonna be filled with the love of God. And you know, parents have 3,000 hours in a year to give. Leaders have about 40. If you're a really good attender, you're bringing your kids pretty regularly. We have about 40 hours. We want to give all we have in those 40 hours, and we want to make our marbles. We want to make them count. And so as we leave here today, we just want to ask you guys, what do you want to do with your marble? You know, as you go from this place, many of you are serving already, and that is awesome. Some of you guys, you're thinking, man, I could probably invest. And this is not just a parenting message. This is for every single person in this room, that you have an opportunity to do something that will impact eternity. It's represented by this marble here today. And so we want to pray for you as our church family, as our faith family. We want to pray for the families that are represented here today, that God would just do something in your heart, in your life, that he would draw you to himself, he would draw your kids to salvation in Jesus, and that we would get to be part of that. As we leave today, I just want to bring your attention to a couple things. If you're interested in serving, if you say, man, I want to do that, I want to invest, and I haven't had the opportunity, or man, I've thought about it, but I want to get plugged in. There's a Life Teams orientation coming up in a couple of weeks. You can go out into the lobby of one of the iPad kiosks and sign up there for that to learn about our Life Teams. You can sign up on your app We would love for you to do that. Also, if you're, there's a marriage conference coming up. So if you want to strengthen your marriage, which is one of the things that is so vital and so important for a healthy family, just strengthen your marriage. There's a marriage conference September 9th and 10th here. We would love for you to be part of that too. Man, our kids and students are in groups every week. Our students, we launch groups next Sunday. We would love for your kids to be consistently part of those groups so they can be with a leader, kind of like you saw Derek and Julia share, that they can just love on them. So today as we leave, if you'll just take part in those things, we would love that. And then take your marble home and just think about where you can invest. So will you guys just pray with me? If there's something going on in your family as well, we have some people in the back that's part of our prayer team. If you have some things that are going on and you just need prayer for, will you go see one of them as we pray and just talk with one of them and they'll pray with you and just connect with God in that way. Well, let's pray together. God, we are just grateful for our families. We're grateful for our family ministry here at LifePoint and the opportunity that we have to invest in the lives of kids and students and point them towards Jesus. And God, I pray that every family that's represented here today would take that marble and think, how can I make an impact on the kingdom for eternity? And God, just give us a heart and a desire to create that sticky web of influences, that it's not just about, hey, well, they do it. The student ministry does it. The kids team does it. But let us be a faith family that creates that sticky web that helps see our kids grow up to know Christ, to love him and serve him all the days of their lives. We thank you for all that you've done in us and through us for our families. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.